Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
We should record the temperature in one SEC locale this offseason for comparison purposes a year from now. Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. I'm here and David's here and he's here. Everybody's here. We got guests and y'all are here. And so let's have a show. And on this show, we talk about college football. And one of those programs is Auburn. Auburn's got a spring game on Saturday. It's a 1 o'clock, I think 1 o'clock local kick. I think that's right. And it's on one of the pluses, like almost every other game. We were talking yesterday. Fox has somebody, Ohio State and Michigan, I think. And so Colorado, we talked about their spring game, and it's being televised as well on a boutique network. But almost all of them outside of one on ESPN, I think that's Alabama's on like the big actual network. And there are a couple of others, but with rare exception, even like Georgia, they're on a plus. So Auburn's on one of the pluses. It's SEC Network Plus. And if you want to show up and watch in person, what I think is going to happen is it's going to be 4 10-minute quarters. And they're going to simulate 2 minutes, this, that, and the other. And they're going to give the defense a bunch of points to start. Like they're going to be up 27-0 this year. Last year was 24. But Hugh Freeze, the way he does it in spring game is you're going to start the game. Like, obviously, the offense always gets the ball, but the defense will get 27 points. And so then the offense just gets possession after possession, trying to put points on the board and get more than 27, and they win. And I'm sure there's something like beans and franks or ribeyes. Got to be honest, with the right beans involved, like good actual barbecue baked beans, and I don't know, something like a Hebrew National. Beans and Franks ain't so bad. But they'll put something on there, and it'll, you know, offensive, defense, somebody will win. But the point is you have a goal for the offense, and you're supposed to find out more about the quarterbacks and whatever else. We found out a lot about Auburn's quarterbacks in December. Do y'all remember before the Music City Bowl? Hugh Freeze said, and Peyton Thorne, he's starting the bowl game and starter in 24. He may as well have been on like the back gate of a train with bunting around it. And everybody cheered, hey, he's our quarterback next year, moving forward, and it'll be better next year. And he's our starter, so vote of confidence. And then the bowl game happened. And so I'm not kidding, folks. It didn't even last an entire, like, not even significant or meaningful bowl game. The bowl game didn't matter, and he played so poorly, and the offense played so poorly that it mattered. To the, like, the biggest picture possible. Last thing I want to do is create doubt in my quarterback. He's like, yeah, actually, that thing I said last week, it's not true anymore. Full reset. So they've got all kinds of things to figure out. But once we get to the season, it really is overwhelmingly likely that Peyton Thorne is going to be the quarterback again, and that can be fine. But I don't think that it is impactful to the point that it changes Auburn's season. And Auburn is well coached, I believe, to the point, and a roster is stocked to the point, I believe, that someone would ask me, do you think Hugh Freeze could get fired at the end of this year? And I was like, anybody can get fired at the end of any year. It can be so bad on field that, yes, 1 year you're like, sorry, dude, out. It can go from we're very excited about the future to it was so bad. Absolutely. My response was no, because I think Auburn is too well coached and too well stocked talent-wise to have a record bad enough. Like, there's no realistic scenario to me where Auburn goes like 2-10. Go 2-10. All right, everybody's looking around at that point going, we made another mistake. We got to start over. 2-10, there is no context, or, well, let me understand, let me explain to y'all why we did that. Mm-mm. Gene Chizik had a national championship. He won 3 games and they fired him. Times ain't that different. So if we fast forward to the season, I said there's no realistic way that Auburn goes, for instance, like 2-10, 3-9. Almost certainly none. And that's what it would take. Now, there's sports, and I'm old enough. I think I was, seventh grader, maybe. Chaminade, that was real. Nobody believed it, and it took 2 days until we all understood the Eastern time zone news reports that night thought that Chaminade, if you don't know, go Wikipedia your computer, Virginia. Chaminade. It sounds like a made-up story. It was basically an intramural team with volleyball tape on their basketball floor. They beat the number one team in America with the Naismith Award winner, a guy named Ralph Sampson. And it was so absurd that the news stations back east, a couple of them were like, all right, they got the score wrong. And they announced, and so Virginia has beaten Chaminade. They're like, somebody got this transposed. They got it wrong. Chaminade can happen. I just gave you a college basketball example from 40 years ago. That's the kind of thing that it would take for Auburn to win 2 games this year. So beyond that, he ain't getting fired. I'm saying take the temperature in Auburn this year and take the temperature in Gainesville this year and see how much overlap you have. What I'm talking about is Billy Napier's career at UF. It's all but over. And I hate to say that because here's another, like, I know he's a good coach. He has done a very poor job in prepare. I'll phrase it this way, and I would invite anyone, Billy Napier, like, specifically, anyone to tell me how this isn't true. Billy Napier has done a really poor job of preparing that team for year 3. I don't know how the biggest bull gator who just sees blue and orange only, like their shade of blue and orange. I don't know how anyone, I don't know how Billy Napier could look at it. I don't know how anyone can look at where they are entering year 3 and go, he's done a great job preparing them for this. This looks like the kind of mess you just handed over to a first-year hire. Well, that's not him. And given the schedule they have, and we know all about it, and the fact that it's even flipped, and the plan, well, hand it over to the freshman. No, you won't. You want to, like, quarterback, I've said in 50 ways, is different. You want to make a kid gun-shy for maybe the rest of his career? I'm not kidding, folks. He's a college freshman, you want to potentially make him gun-shy to the point that his whole college eligibility comes and goes and he never gets right between his ears. Throw him out there for the final 4 or 5 games of Florida schedule this year. All right, do that. What I'm talking about is I will give you one example. There are 50 more. Like, do we know Vinny Testaverde? Do we remember him? He was a Heisman winner in Miami. They played for a national championship. He's first overall pick in the NFL. His experience, his rookie year and probably second year with Tampa. Folks, it took Vinny Testaverde almost a decade. And he was this big, square shoulder, rocket arm dude, understood football. I think he was colorblind. I think the Buccaneers found that out. And so obviously that doesn't help. But Vinny, I'm not kidding. After what happened his first couple of years in Tampa, it took him almost a decade. And he was good enough to be the first overall pick. What do you think an 18-year-old kid's doing? Like, it's going to take him a minute. You can't just throw him out there. So it's just an Everest to climb. And barring the Chaminade thing happening, like 4 times in Gainesville, his career at UF's over. You have to go out and play the season, and they will. I mean, August is coming, but they're going to lose too many games. I said last year, like, I got the scenario right. I was like, no way they have a winning record, and then that was it, because I thought Graham Mertz, I said, he has to be dynamic enough to pass them out of this mire, and he's not. Now, was he overly dynamic? He had a little bit of dynamic, but he was just really, really good all year. So, I mean, it wasn't lasers for 40 yards on every throw, but, I mean, who is? Not many. So, he was really good. See, they cracked the code at quarterback, and still the season was a stinker. So, ask anyone, man. It's true. H-O-T on that man this offseason, and he's earned it. Billy Napier. Right now, as we exist, April heading into year three. Hot for Billy Napier. Hugh Freeze had the exact same first season record at Auburn as Napier had at UF. Are we aware of that? Except Napier didn't have 4th and 31. Now, Napier followed it up with a 5-7, which Auburn absolutely could post 5-7 this year. I think they'll be better. And I'm not going to play the win-loss game, but if you're an Auburn, like, you really don't want to play the win-loss game, like, beginning the very end of September for, like, several weeks. You don't want to play the win-loss game. One of those games, October 19th, for I'll give you, this is a great example. You're at Missouri. Missouri, we'll go on the road. Now, Jared Stidham, like, he had Barry Odom unglued after the game. They went up there several years ago, and the post-game speech from Barry Odom, I was like, he's off his rocker now. He lost it. And, like, that's not where these programs are right now. Missouri's better. Missouri's a way, way better team. Auburn's a better program. Missouri's a way, way better team. And they're at home in the conference. And so that's like, I mean, that seems like a whole lot. And can it happen? I've given you every disclaimer possible, sure. But you're looking at this schedule, and 6-6 kind of seems like a goal. 5-7 is something that could without anything unusual happening. So if you want to work your way around to, in your mind, what you think their record is, feel free. You probably, I bet you wind up at 5 wins or 6. The burner won't be turned up on him as high, though, because it would make all of us more wrong. We have seen him succeed in the SEC. We have seen him succeed at Liberty. We have gone back and read about his success at Arkansas State. We didn't do all that with Napier. We just heard South Carolina and Mississippi State wanted him, and like, far too casually and in a dismissive tone, we think, well, what's that mean? Not much. It's South Carolina and Mississippi State. Look who they hire, Joe Moorhead and Will Muschamp. Completely reasonable this Auburn team finishes at 5 wins or 6. Sketchy quarterback play. And your best playmakers might be two freshman receivers. That's not really a blueprint to winning 10 in the SEC, or, you know, like, winning in the SEC. So I'm keeping track this offseason of just how hot it is on Napier for comparison purposes, because what we all stated about Hugh Freeze, that's a great hire, versus what we all stated about Napier. I don't know. And then immediately jumped on board and made our declarations. We are so certain he's about to be fired that we want to be first in line. I've been telling you since April. With Hugh Freeze, we're not doing that. And it was the exact same debut season. And I'm looking at the transfer Big Ten quarterback going, really, is he dynamic enough to make a difference? And with Peyton Thorne, I don't think he is. I don't know. Cam Coleman apparently is just wowing everyone and, like, legitimately so, deservedly so. One of the other freshmen, the four-star kid, the sprinter, is it Bryce Kane? He's there as well. They've got two coming in the summer. I think it is a Perry Thompson and one more kid maybe. So that's all coming this summer. But right now, you've got sketchy quarterback play and a freshman that everybody's looking at going, he's great. Okay. Now, season gets here and you got to go out and play SEC teams. And so that gets a lot more difficult than impressing teammates in March and April. We're going to break. Come back next.
to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Full up day on the Duncan Newsmaker line. Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. I was talking yesterday about a perfect, like, we have three guests most days. And I was talking about a perfect three-pack to get at Dunkin' Donuts. I'd mentioned the strawberry cake donut. And fair question. Now, I was really promoting the strawberry donut, cake donut, because the blueberry cake donut is a really wildly popular one. When you're saying, hey, give me 12, I'm taking it to the office. Everybody gets the blueberry. I'm like, don't sleep on that strawberry cake donut. It's a wonderful purchase. Someone asked, what if I don't want something maybe as heavy as a cake donut? Well, get your traditional glaze with the strawberry frosting on it. It's just wonderful. So you got all kinds of options at Dunkin' Donuts, and they bring you our Newsmaker line every day. Going to be talking Mississippi State at the bottom of the hour. Stefan Kreisnick, Jackson Clarion Ledger is going to join us. Also at top of hour two, our truest reporter for Alabama from TideIllustrated.com. It's a Rivals thing, Tony Soukalos. Bottom of hour two on the Duncan Newsmaker line, AggieYell.com. It's our good friend Mark Passwater is going to catch up on everything going on with, I assume, Connor Wegman and Jalen Henderson and everybody else trying to make their way onto Mike Elko's first official two deep. So as he's beginning his era out in College Station. So that's what's ahead. Again, Duncan Newsmaker line bringing you all of it. I was mentioning earlier, talking about Hugh Freeze and the Auburn spring game on Saturday, and there is a path out. Now, it's going to have to be sort of a Jenga tower, but there is a way to make this work. And it starts with Perry Thompson, who's the other, like, just big, giant kid coming to Auburn, and he'll be there this summer. He's from Foley. And if you live in the state of Alabama, you like that big, giant receiver from Foley. And also Cam's already there, and Bryce Kane, the speedster, they got another one. So there's four. It's the Freeze four. There's a chance they're really, really good. And ever so often, even as a freshman, a kid shows up and it kind of happens to, you know, for him from the start. Now, there are high profile of examples of guys who went on to have great NFL careers, and it still in college took them a minute because receiver is one of those things. In the NFL, I'm going to go way back. Permission to go way back? All right, granted. Randy Moss, his rookie year, you go about 25 years. He had a Thanksgiving Day game against Dallas. I think it was three catches for three touchdowns, like 150-some yards. And you're like, okay, that's different. That's different for anybody to have a game. But for a rookie receiver, it usually takes a second. There's a chance. And in college, it's the same thing. Freshman receivers usually takes like half a season, like maybe the whole freshman season. There's a chance these kids, there's a couple of exceptions there. There are certainly going to be snaps available to prove it. Then look at the running backs, because they'll figure out who they need to be a, quote, traditional receiver or somebody who really can line up, like, out near the numbers, you know, like, run those routes. If you look at the running back depth chart, folks, there's four really good names there. I do not know the combination of how to use them. We talked last week about Jeremiah Cobb. There's something to do with him beyond him being the third running back. I don't think he's the fourth, but he might be. But there's something more to do with him, but I don't know what that is. I know that he needs to be on the field, and I know if it means Jarquez isn't on the field, well, no, I'm going to leave Jarquez on. Like, that's how good Jarquez is. And then you got the two, Austin, and then you got three, who I guess is Cobb. You've got plenty enough options. And then Batty as well, who was more special team, like advertised, he's going to be a kick returner. He was a 1,000-yard back. And so you've got all kinds of options there. And if you finally have some receivers who can win at the line and just back everyone up. That one little difference, it could change so much. So there is a path out. I didn't mention the offensive line. It's been too depressing. But an inconsistent, I'll say. An inconsistent was an improvement, actually. Like, they're week to week. That's an improvement over what it's been. But there's a path out, and none of this is outlandish stuff. I mean, Cam Coleman, maybe he really is Julio. I said it. The running backs there, maybe you do figure out that, you know, Tetris combination and you're like, okay, we have maximum available input, like given snaps and there's one football, whatever's available to get from them, we found it. Peyton Thorne, he's improved. Is he, I'm going to guess here, I should have it, I've got the interweb. I think Graham Mertz, was he 24 touchdowns and three picks? All right, seems a little much for Peyton Thorne. But you'll take a version of that. If he goes, and there's always contacts, but you get that completion percentage, upper 60s, and you get that like a 3-1, 4-1 touchdown to interception ratio, yeah, I can win with all that. Hey, what's going on, man?
Something else from Auburn that got my attention yesterday, Chuck. John Cohen, their AD, telling the folks at Next Round Live, one of the shows out of Alabama there, that, quote, the progress on Auburn's deal is getting close, just not ready, this quarter, just not ready to release because not all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. But I feel like from our student athletes to our alumni, they're all going to be happy. Well, maybe. I'll be interested in seeing what they do just because Auburn obviously has been with Under Armour for a while now. It's one of two schools in the SEC that is with Under Armour, and they are getting their deal done now. Their deal runs, they're negotiating, but their deal runs through 2025. South Carolina has a deal running through 2026. So whatever Auburn does here is going to likely give you some idea how things might go for South Carolina and their deal too. And Chuck, in this NIL era, I am really interested to see how much these contracts are considered to be worth. Once upon a time, it was like, oh, you know, this athlete or that athlete is going to come through. They're going to be moving merchandise. But now you might just as likely have somebody do their own deal, even if they can't wear it on the field. Your star quarterback might be promoting Adidas while you've got a Nike contract or something like that. Obviously, the apparel sales, that's part of the interest on a deal like this, too. But I'm really interested. It sure sounds like Auburn's moving away from Under Armour. I'm curious to see where they go, and I'm curious to see what those dollars look like because that's going to affect some other programs, too.
Would do it in a heartbeat. If you remember, is there any reason you remember who Auburn was with like 10, 15 years ago?
Wasn't Russell, was it?
Russell.
Oh,
Russell
Lord.
Athletics. And, I mean, I will say Heath, a local-ish employer, and they turned away. They were like, yeah, we got a better deal here. And that just, I was like, it's all up for grabs, man. It really is. And I understand that. You got bills, and more so than any other time in history, it's getting tougher to pay them. That's the reality.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of College Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Wednesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, talking college football is what we do. Been doing it for 10 years now. 9 states and 60 sticks. Yay, us. There may not be another program in America with two returning scholarship quarterbacks, one of them who started some games, that there's a lot of uncertainty on how productive that position is going to be going forward. Mississippi State, they've got a transfer from Baylor, Blake Chapin. And they also have Mike Wright, who he elected to come back, and they elected to keep him. Also, there was a kid, Chris Parson, who, I mean, he got a teacup. He looked like an intriguing athlete, but he got just a little bit of playing time, and he was a short dog in tall weeds. But, again, kind of intriguing. So that's where they sit, and that's where it all starts, especially when your head coach is Jeff Lebby. Want to ruck them on right now, man, who knows all these answers from the Jackson Clarion Ledger. It's Stefan Kreischnick. Stefan, welcome back, friend. How are you?
Yeah, appreciate you having me on again, man. I'm good.
All right, well, let's start from maybe the bottom. And by the way, this is all subject to change, you know, asterisk spring game. Y'all are on the – they're on the 20th. I know it opens on the 15th, but, you know, all that will work itself out. Let's start Chris Parson. I saw him play, like, for whatever reason, and just – he got thrown into that A&M thing, and then it was Kentucky as well, and it wasn't so great. But he looked like an intriguing athlete, and he was just a kid out there running around on an SEC field. What is the thought about him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you look at what he was able to do last season, a small stint, I think you've got to see, you know, the combination of what he can do with his legs and with his arm, right? He's got a great arm talent, but he's also, you know, got the athleticism to move around. I'm not calling him a running quarterback, but he's got it there, you know, if he needs to escape the pocket and things along those lines. But I think you saw a freshman that was put into a bad spot, not just in the sense of he's a freshman who's having to make starts against, you know, Kentucky and Texas A&M, as you mentioned, but he's a freshman working with a coaching staff and an offense that just was not good whatsoever, was not fit for the SEC. There was a lot of times where you're watching games and you're just like, what is going on? Like, none of it made sense. And and there's this freshman being thrown into that, and you didn't really get a chance to see the full skill set because I don't think he was put in a good situation. But I think you go back to, you know, him being recruited as out of high school, and, you know, he was a Mike Leach prospect. And after, you know, Coach Leach had passed away, Chris Parson was, you know, keep in mind, Coach Leach, when he passed away in December of 22, it was about, you know, 10 days before that early signing period opened, and people were wondering, all right, like, you know, which recruits are going to stay on board, which ones are going to decommit, you know, right before signing day. That's tough. And Chris Parson was kind of the leader of speaking out and being like, hey, like, we committed to Coach Leach. We're staying at Mississippi State. We're going through with our commitment. He was that vocal leader, and that's the quality you want to see in a quarterback. So I think, you know, those traits, whether it be physical or that leadership aspect, you saw before he even got to Mississippi State. And I think that's why he's a guy that, you know, Mississippi State is still pretty high on it, and why I think going into this year, he's got a chance to be the starting quarterback. I think right now Blake Shapen's the leader in the clubhouse, and I don't know if that'll change before September, but Chris Parson is definitely there to at least be the backup, you know, when the season begins.
And a word about Mike Wright then, because, again, he got some run last year, and he was very Mike Wright-ish. I mean, he was at SEC Media Days for another program a year before. I was like, this is weird to me. But then I watched him play. I was like, oh, yeah. And he's back. So what's the idea? More Mike Wright sort of things?
Yeah, that's what I expect at this point. You know, he's actually been doing, you know, some sprints for the track and field team at State. So his athleticism is still being put on display. But I think, you know, with Jeff Lebby's offense and how much they pass the ball and the deep shots that they like to take, I think if you see Mike Wright, it's going to be more of those, you know, design situations. Yep. To put him in. That's probably what I would expect, you know, when he comes over, or when the season comes around for him.
Well, let's go to the top then, or I'll say the presumed top. I mean, Lebby talked back in, I guess, December. He's like, yep, he's my kind of guy. I was like, well, the head coach just got hired and he, you know, handpicked quarterback, so this guy's going to be the starter. We're, I don't know, halfway through practice now. Is Blake Shapen going to be the starter?
I think so. I'd be pretty surprised if it wasn't him at this point. You know, all the returns of what we heard on him have been good. You know, keep in mind he dealt with injuries at Baylor. But when he was healthy, he was pretty good. Like, he showed signs of when they won that Big 12 title a couple of years ago. Like, he's got you can see the traits of why, you know, Jeff Lebby would want a guy like him. Like, we've seen Lebby work with elite quarterbacks from his time at Ole Miss with Matt Corral and obviously most recently with Dillon Gabriel at Oklahoma. He's a guy that has shown that he can develop quarterbacks and make them, you know, succeed well in a system. So, you know, it was pretty quick from after Lebby got hired to when they, you know, got a commitment from Blake Shapen. So it makes you think that's a guy that, you know, Lebby for a while now has thought highly of and seen as a guy that can fit, you know, his system and what he likes to do. And then you know, add on top of that the veteran presence. And, you know, we talked about Chris Parson and his skills. You can't teach experience, right? And that's what Blake Shapen has of playing, you know, at the Big 12 and now coming over to the SEC. I just think that, like you said, in December, you know, Lebby speaking so highly of a guy like that, it was immediately one of those things where, you know, a coach like Lebby and Kiffin is like this in a sense. And there's a lot of, you know, those offensive minded coaches around the country that when they see a quarterback that they like and they go after him that quickly and they bring him in from the portal, there's a reason that they're doing that. And I think that's because, you know, Jeff Lebby sees him as his starter.
All right, let's look at the running back depth chart. And you can go anywhere you think that, like, this is one, this is two, whatever. I'm looking at Kayvon Lee. I thought we would be talking about him going into the NFL draft right now after what, like, how the career started at Penn State. Then he got passed by two kids. Where is he now in his, I guess, his final go-round?
Yeah, he's a guy that, you know, we were able to see a bit of practice last week. I believe it was on Saturday. And, you know, we saw a glimpse of him playing with the starters. I think Jeff Lebby and his staff think highly of Lee and think he could be the starter. Now, they've got some JUCO guys, you know, in there. Jeffrey Pittman showed signs last year. They got a guy in Johnny Daniels that, you know, Lebby spoke highly of when they signed him this past cycle out of JUCO. So they've got some guys back there that they like. Lee is probably the guy that I would think is kind of the leader in the clubhouse at this point to be a starter. And like you said, I mean, he showed a lot at Penn State, you know, especially, you know, not just in the running attack, but, you know, in the passing game as well. He made some pretty impressive catches. I know he had a really good one against Purdue. If you look up the video for those who are listening, there is some potential there. I think that they like, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying with Shapen too, of, you know, that's Lee is a guy who's got, you know, starting experience at a Big Ten level and now at the SEC. So they obviously like something in him. They like how he fits the offense. You know, Seth Davis was a freshman last year who showed a lot of good signs. I mean, just the athleticism he showed and the speed he showed is crazy. But, you know, he goes down to that egg bowl, and I'm not sure if we're going to see him this season because of that injury he suffered. So it makes you think that Lee is probably the guy that they're going with right now.
Wrapping up, Stephen Kreischnick, Jackson Clarion Ledger. If it's about Mississippi State, this guy knows it. So let's talk defense, Coleman Huntsler. Is there a sliding scale, the defense, like, and I'm talking the approach that he wants to run versus the personnel he has right now, or is, like, no, full steam ahead, this is what we're doing?
I think it's pretty fluid right now. I think he's evaluating, you know, what they have. And you know, I got the chance to speak with him about a month or so ago, and I asked him, I was like, you know, when Zach Arnett was the defensive coordinator, he ran a 3-3-5. When Mike Leach was here, everyone knew what the air raid was. Like, we like to put these labels to simplify things for us. So I asked him, I was like, how do you label what a Coleman Huntsler defense looks like? And he was like, you know, he hated giving the cliche answer, but he said it's going to be multiple, and it's, you know, it's going to depend on the personnel on the field. He was saying that, you know, with the talent of offenses and quarterbacks these days, you can't just do one coverage or one design and expect it to work, you know, all the time. I think you're going to see a lot of moving parts, because I think right now when I look at the linebacker room and some of the pieces on the defensive line that State has, I think they've got some players who can kind of be in different roles. They don't, you know, they don't have guys that just have to be a traditional linebacker. You have some linebackers that you can move up on the line and have lineup as a defensive end and things of that nature. So I think they've got some intriguing pieces that were, you know, recruited highly at the high school level, you know, with potential that maybe just haven't had the experience at this point. Now, when you put those guys in and they get that experience, that doesn't mean that they're going to be good and that they're going to succeed. But I think that there's that hope that there's some guys that will step up and maybe surprise some people and say, oh yeah, I remember that dude being a high 3-star, 4-star recruit, you know, a few years ago. So I don't think there's a lot that's going to be, you know, set in stone and this is how things are going to be done. I think it's something that's going to rotate, you know, on the players that they have at hand. And I think that's something that Coleman Huntsler, when you look at the coaches he's worked with, like Jim Harbaugh early in his career and most recently Nick Saban, that those are guys who have always succeeded in being able to, you know, work with the personnel that they have. And I think that's kind of the approach you're going to see from him.
All right, two quick things, and it's based around money, cash, cheddar. That spring game, I'm correct on that. They're going April 20th, right? Is there any concern about portal opens before that?
Not, you know, it's not that I've heard of. You know, Mississippi State tries to do their spring game always with a big baseball series that's in town. So that weekend is when they have a home baseball series against Auburn. So I think it's really more so centered around that.
Okay. And then the second thing, when it comes to just blatant name, image, likeness, like here's an envelope, it's got money in it. Ole Miss is doing it as well as anybody, and all these things I want to say about, well, if you don't have big in-state commerce and Forbes 500 companies and you don't – well, Ole Miss is making it work. Do Mississippi State fans kind of look at each other and go, why aren't we making it work?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is you're seeing kind of this next level of NIL, and I think Mississippi is kind of the perfect example of that, of – you know, Mississippi State's getting donations, right? They have a decent collective that they've built, and Ole Miss is in the same way, has built up, you know, a lot of money and been able to get their collective going as well. And I think what you're seeing right now is so many schools around the country have that money now. Like, money's not really a problem for a lot of these big programs. I think Mississippi State is kind of in that boat. Now, is Mississippi State making the same as, you know, what, Georgia or something like that? No, they're not. But they're in that realm where they can compete. I think now you're starting to see players that are going into the portal, you know, looking at teams and saying, okay, if you're going to pay me just as much as this school is going to pay me, where am I going to go and win? And I think now you're seeing that, you know, with an Ole Miss where Kiffin has built them to a place where they're consistently winning, you know, 9-10 games. They feel like they have a chance in the expanded playoff to compete. And I think now a school like Ole Miss is starting to be a bit more intriguing because they have the money and now they have the product on the field to, you know, get some top talent. You look at when Jeff Levy, you know, came to Mississippi State, they had the money if they wanted to go get Dylan Gabriel, right? They could have matched what Oregon was probably offering him. But Gabriel in his situation is saying, okay, yes, I know Jeff Levy, I know I can succeed with him, but also Oregon's in a spot right now where they can immediately compete for the playoff. You saw that with Bo Nix, saw that with Mike Penix at Washington. So I think you're kind of seeing this next layer of, okay, everyone has money now. Can you put a product on the field that shows that you can win and that money starts to come with, okay, I'm going to go here, I'm going to make money, and I'm going to win. I think that's where Jeff Levy kind of needs to take the program in these next steps to start, you know, recruiting the portal at a level of what you're seeing as an Ole Miss or maybe some of the other programs in the SEC.
It's sort of the next example of, okay, everybody has facilities. Now we need something more than facilities. Well,
right,
we've gone on to this next level of name, image, likeness. Okay, everybody has cash. What about winning and cash? You can be a little more choosy now. Brother, I appreciate the insights. Good stuff as always, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Stephen Kreischnick, Jackson Clarion Ledger. There was a time when, and I mentioned this, like nobody made money in college sports. And again, this was on air, so I'm not like, you know, looking at W-2s or anything. But Wes Durham, who has done ACC games for honestly decades, did Vanderbilt for a minute too. His dad, Woody Durham, did North Carolina. Like, well, my dad never made money until the end. Larry Munson never made money until the end. Bear Bryant never made money, not real money. The money came, and it started at the absolute very top. We can start paying some coaches. Okay, well, so we can retain our what we think is the best coach. What do we do now? And it turned to facilities almost immediately. And with, again, if you want to go back to the early 90s when divisions, SEC title game, you just literally – flew a helicopter over each SEC campus, pushed out a pallet of money out of nowhere, something that had never existed. And then the SEC said, all right, beginning this December, we're going to do this. And you get all that money. That's when it started. You got the money, you got to spend the money. Well, facilities. And imagine how much you can put into things like stadiums and weight rooms and locker rooms and all that. So the like bare bones facilities, all of that, it took a couple of decades, honestly. It took like it took about 20 years, till about 2010 or so. And you're like, all right, well, we've kind of done a whole lot of that stuff. What do we do now? And that's when it went to the nutrition science centers and the, you know, whatever else. Well, where it is now, like this is now that everybody has facilities. Okay, well, I'm not going to go to Oregon just because you've got a great film room. I'm going to go now because you can also win. When you it went from, hey, they've got facilities, to, well, everybody has facilities. Well, who's got the facilities and I can win? I was doing Conference USA, which, put your right hand, you know, like palm down, all right? Put it like a foot above your head. That's the SEC. Put it down about your waist, all right? I was doing Conference USA. I would go to Marshall. I would go to East Carolina. I would go to a lot of places, UCF, and I'm like, they got nice facilities. Yeah, because they have a television contract and the money just comes in. So everybody had facilities. Okay, well, now facilities in a big conference and I can win. And so this is the same thing now. Bo Nix signed a $20,000, I think that was the number. I think it was $20,000 with Milo's tea. What precious times they were. Bryce Young, if you remember, the Alabama starting quarterback. Now, apparently he turned down half of them, but he took deals totaling $800,000 for the Alabama starting quarterback. Like a year and a half later, the high school kid gets $9 million from Tennessee. Derek King got $6,000 from a gym because every other Miami player got $6,000 from a gym. And now it's just exploded. Now, it's about to pull back, but as we are right now, we're probably like living right now in the high water mark of all this stuff. And when I say it will pull back, some folks are going to realize, actually some folks are already realizing it will mushroom, that you've sort of run through some donors already after 2 or 3 years of this. And so some collectives, it's like there's going to be a new way of doing this business. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And gosh, hour one, we'll wrap it up next.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Good work at quarterback. You know, Talen has kind of been the guy that works with the ones. He's earned that himself from the minute he got here to how he's conducted his business, how he leads, how he studies, how hard he goes, you know, and all the mat drills that we did. He's the first guy winning on the races, so he's done a nice job on that.
Play caller and Fayetteville. He's talking about quarterback Talen Green. We have David Basil on sometimes. Hey, get David Basil on. We have David Basil on sometimes, former Arkansas linebacker in the mid-80s. And now media superstar out there. And we have him on sometimes, okay? If Talen Green played when David Basil, Talen Green would have been a defensive end in the mid-80s. Might have been an outside linebacker, maybe, like, but it would have been a big stand-up outside linebacker. I think he would have probably been a defensive end. Talen Green transferred from Boise, and he was saying that he's working with the ones and all the things he can do. I'm going to say Talen is about 6'6", 230, and has already played a real good amount of football. He was conference freshman of the year 2 years ago. He led the team to the Mountain West title last year, Boise State. And then he decided to transfer. And Bobby Petrino apparently was one of the big reasons that he decided to transfer to Arkansas. But Boise State was in a pretty good spot. They have, after Green left, they still had 8 returning starters on offense. And about 3 weeks after Talen Green transferred, entered the portal and then announced, all right, I'm going to Arkansas. About 3 weeks later, Boise, it was an attractive enough situation that Malachi Nelson, who had a quarterback, five-star quarterback at USC, who had been the number one recruit in America, he looked at all that talent coming back. He's like, I'll take that. And so, boom, there you go. That's how all this works. What's up, Heath?
So the Big 12 is doing something that I think maybe makes some sense in that right now they are transitioning as a conference in a major, major way. You've got these new schools coming in from the Pac-12. You still are dealing with the fact you lose Texas and Oklahoma this year. You've obviously just begun to mix in the 4 schools you brought in just a year ago. Big 12 announced that the launch of its Big 12 Mexico initiative that they plan to bring beginning in December has been delayed with a new target date of 2025. They say that they want to explore having a football bowl game in Monterrey, Mexico, starting in 2026. Brett Yormark, give them credit because there are a lot of people who thought that was the conference that was going to go down in flames, not the Pac-12, and their commissioner did a much better job than George Klyavkov of the Pac-12 in finding ways to fight and scratch and claw, went to the market earlier than the Pac-12, got the deal done, did the things to keep his conference alive. So I get the innovative thinking. He's done some stuff for basketball, for example, with Rucker Park in New York City. But Chuck, right now, I don't think Mexico, whether it's a bowl game in Mexico, whether it's anything else in Mexico, I'm not sure that's what the Big 12 needs to worry about. And I think probably for them, it's a good sign that they're saying, you know what? It gets us headlines. That's a nice thing. Let's put it on the back burner. Let's focus on just getting our act together here over the next year or two in the USA before we worry about things in Monterrey.
Yeah, they found a lot of right answers in what turned out for a couple, like the ACC and the Pac-12, like they, for them, college football turned into a minefield. And so if you have strung together, like you're on a little bit of a heater here at your level, no reason to unnecessarily roll those dice like that. And so I think that that's where they sit right now. And I agree with you.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.